This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join myself and Doug Norrie every single week as we break down all that Brooklyn Nets action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
Right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day, except for weekends. I am Doug Norrie, owner-operator, DFSR.com. You know the drill. Head on over there if you need some DFS advice or projections. Gosh, I couldn't even say the word of the thing we've been doing for all these years. Projections for MLB, NBA, NHL. It's all covered there at DFSR.com. And that is Adam Armbrecht, the voice of the Brooklyn Nets on Sportscaster, the host of the One Giant podcast covering the New York football Giants. Got the entire New York City area covered in terms of sports. Buddy, how are we doing? Happy Kevin Durant is back day.
That's right, sir. An apt time for him to enter this game. We're going to get into everything in his return. Enters the game at the 7:37 mark in the second quarter, and it was KD has landed. Nothing but a gush fest on your way here. So I hope Brooklyn Nets fans strap in because you're about to hear me really pontificate about how good Kevin Durant is.
All right, so on the solo podcast yesterday, talked for a little while around the Kevin Durant like timeline around returning. The official news that he returned actually came out after, came out after I had hit put the podcast in the can, and nothing if not professional, was not going to go back and re-record something. So we'll just assume that I would have been in love with the move for him coming back. Though it kind of did dance around the idea. Was able to guess absolutely correctly the 10-day mark around James Harden being injured, and talked for a length about what it meant for, like, that's just kind of fine. I think we were all okay with the idea of him missing some extended time. But the Nets, if they're nothing if not a little flair for the dramatic here, in that the second that they don't want to get anyone too bummed out, because it's like James Harden's going to be reevaluated in 10 days. Don't worry, everybody. Kevin Durant is coming back to play in this game. He's going to be back on the court. So it's like, not like James Harden who, but it was really well timed in terms of not worrying about one superstar, because you're going to get another superstar back. Doesn't look like he's missed a month plus. we're going to talk about the game here, but man, it's really something with a guy like Kevin Durant. The first game back when he entered this season to start the year after the Achilles injury, little bit of rust, but it was every bit the superstar. And I felt like we were treated to that again tonight, where it's just he hasn't played in a while. It doesn't seem to really matter. This is what happens when you have one of the top, when he's at its peak, one of the top three best players in all of basketball. That list might even be shorter when he's playing at his absolute peak. And that's just what we had tonight. And it was just another reminder that you have the absolute top of the mountaintop kind of player on your team, and we just haven't had him on the court for a little while now.
Yeah, well, and this is, I will say that, you know, we've had our, not even issues, but we've talked about his injury and the timeline, the way that the Brooklyn Nets communicate about it. But what you can say is, he stepped back on the court, he looked well-conditioned and ready to go. So the extra time that they took for him to probably be practicing, right, doing the four-on-fours, getting to the five-on-fives and all those type of simulations, that pays dividends because you are ready to immediately step on the court and get right back into your rhythm. And listen, his first shot was an elbow jumper off the left side of the foul line, the signature shot basically that we've come to know from KD. And that was basically the jumping off point, and it was never looked back. The dude, it was perfect. I don't know another way. I don't know how else to come out of it than just seeing that first shot go through and say, oh, so no rust then. Fantastic.
Yeah, this is what happens when it looked. We've talked about this before, but I think if the playoffs had started 2 weeks ago, we would have seen Kevin Durant back 2 weeks ago. Right. I think this has been how they've been treating the situation. I'm not saying that's not a sourced opinion. I just seem to think, just by the way they treated this, by a few things he's said about when, like the timeline about coming back, the amount we've seen him just messing around on the court, taking jumpers, messing around with guys on the sidelines. It seemed like, body language wise and a few little tidbits that have been thrown out there, that he's been healthy for a little while now. And there was just no reason to rush him back because you're Kevin Durant. And, you know, you're keeping the Cadillac ready for the race later. You know, like this is not, we don't need to be driving around on a weekday. We're saving it for the Sunday drive, right? Like this is.
Can I do my conspiracy theory? I know I text you this, but this was, you know, the timing of, because I said it to you in a text a few days ago, all of a sudden we hear Kevin Durant's going to be available for Wednesday night. The fact that Harden stepped out onto the court coming off of a hamstring tweak and immediately, you know, played four minutes, and then signaled and went off the floor. I went full conspiracy theory with you and said, listen, I think this is the Nets just go, all right, Harden, you've been playing max minutes for us. We know the playoffs are, you know, we got another 20 games or so before we get into playoff mode here. We want you to have a nice long rest. We want to make sure Kevin Durant is back in form. We want to start to find our rhythm. Why don't you shut it down for a couple weeks? We'll bring you back around. You'll be fresh as a daisy, ready to charge into these playoffs. Like I don't know how, you know, what percentage I'm actually believing my conspiracy theory, but I do think that the Nets are very specifically looking at their stars and saying, we want to get to the playoffs at full strength, full health, and full energy. Absolutely no downside, no drawbacks, no reason for concern. And, you know, Kyrie has missed his handful of days here and there, obviously, but this is now a point in the season where you want to be ramping everybody up to play at their highest possible level. So I think it's a perfectly timed respite for Harden before we get into the playoffs as well.
I like to don the tinfoil hat as much as the next guy, you know, throw it on, buddy. A rocket, turn it sideways and just kind of get to work on a good old fashioned conspiracy. So you're speaking my language with that stuff. I think the only thing that kind of falls down around that is the Nets have had no problem sitting out other guys for extended periods of time with little to no explanation. So the part where he got out and played the few minutes before they did it was the only part I would have been fine with it, except for the part where they had him go out and play. That's where the conspiracy. I'm willing to believe.
No. It's a wink, wink, nod. Ooh, my hamstring, and I have to get off the court. You got to go deep layers here, Doug.
Oh, that's like, I should tell you. Oh man, maybe at the end of the podcast, remind me to tell you a story about how when I was in my high school story about. It's the ultimate karma about an injury like that, where I tried to play something like that to my advantage and it worked out poorly. So if there's time at the end where we remember, or maybe we'll just do it in locker room. We are broadcasting in locker room right now. If we have time and remember it later, this is a good one, but it's not germane to the story right now. So yeah, anyway, the big news here, obviously, we're going to get into the game, get into how the team looked, how some of the pieces fit together, have to talk about all that stuff, have to get excited about just some of the things you saw and the ease at which they were scoring, especially when that group is together. Another reminder that when you have a top, you know, X scorer in the league on the court, it makes it easier for everyone else to score. My one quick question before we get to some of the game, were you surprised he didn't start? Do you think that was an adrenaline thing to kind of like get his adrenaline down before stepping onto the court? Like, what do you think did they give a reason about why he didn't start? I did not see one, but maybe you saw something, or do you have a theory about why he didn't start the game?
No, they had some conversations on the broadcast around, you know, obviously, if KD said, I want to start, then he's starting, right? So it clearly ran through him as far as how would you like to approach this game? And maybe it is. Hey, you know, why don't we see how the game is flowing and let me pick my spot when I want to get onto the floor? And because we know the Nets, again, even though we're saying he looks fantastic coming back, he plays 19 minutes. So if you're only going to use him for X amount of time, and by the way, as far as when you chose to use him, comes in, all of a sudden the game blows wide open for you. He sticks it through the first half into the third quarter, and then he doesn't play at all in the fourth. So if you're going to get almost 20 minutes out of KD, you probably want to put it right in the meat of the game where you can get that dagger, you know, and put this one to bed as soon as possible. So no, surprised, yes. Initially, I was surprised, but by the end of the game, you know, of course, looking back on it after a great performance, you go, what difference does it really make? And I think if I had that approach on the front end, I probably would have come to that conclusion. What does it matter when he plays so long as he's back on the court and playing? And that's ultimately all I cared about.
Yeah, I thought it was, like I said, maybe just managing some of the adrenaline around it, right? Like
I will say, because in previous instances when he's come back on the court from injuries, a couple of little layoffs or days off, if I go back and look at the numbers, he actually has struggled initially in those games when he starts. And he'll go 1 of 4, maybe 2 of 5 or 6 from the floor before he really gets his legs underneath him. And then we've seen him take charge and surge in his performances later in the game. So maybe that, to that point, he is a little overamped, especially after 23 games off. And this was just, let me get hyped on the bench and then I'll be settled down by the time I come in.
53-44 when he checks into the game. So they were up by 9 and they ended up winning by 28. So you can just do the math on that, yeah. By the way, when someone says you can do the math, it's usually because that person doesn't want to do the math for you right there. That's the old trick with that saying right there, is that you do the
do
math.
Do you know the answer?
It's like, it's so obvious. Like, you just figure it out yourself. I'm not going to tell you, because good news, I can't really figure it out. Okay, one thing that Kevin Durant could have maybe used if the adrenaline was going to be flowing for him early in the game would have been using Headspace. Look, this is an absolutely perfect app for when you're looking to wind down. Pocket size guide that can help you sleep, focus. You don't want to sleep here, but focus, act, even be better. All you need is 10 minutes, and Headspace can change your life. It's a daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditation, super easy to use. It's one of the only meditation apps advancing in the field of mindfulness through clinically validated research. Love to have the research piece to this. Headspace, like I said, so easy to use. Only need 10 minutes. They even have a 3-minute SOS meditation if you really are just kind of in the throw of it and you know you need to calm down a little bit, get your mind right. Headspace, perfect for that. And maybe your parents, you need something to help your kids wind down morning or get ready for the day. Morning meditations that you can do with the whole family. Headspace is perfect for this, backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews. You do the math on that. 600,000 five-star reviews and over 60 million downloads. Makes it easier for you to build life-changing meditation practice in your own life. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free 1-month trial to access with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. headspace.com/lockedonNBA. And buying car parts. Sometimes you need Headspace to get calmed down enough to go buy car parts, because that's how infuriating it can be. If you go to the local place, like we said before, you go into that local place, the guy's sitting, or gal, but usually a guy, sitting there at the desk. You give him your car and the part you need. They disappear into the labyrinth, almost never to be seen again. Come out with the unmarked box. You don't know what you're getting. You don't know if it's the right part. You don't know what the price is. You don't know if you're paying fair market value or something way over that. And that is not the case with rockauto.com. Family owned and operated for more than 20 years, rockauto.com makes it so easy to buy car parts. You just have drop down menus. Once you put in the make and model of your car, it's going to drop down menus, easily to find, easily sortable database, easy to find the part you need. And you know you're going to pay 30 or even 50% less than some of those local places. Can't beat that. The trust you need, the prices you need, it's all there on rockauto.com. They're remarkably easy to navigate. Just see all the parts you need, choose the brand, specifications, prices, and you are set to go. Rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And when they say, how did you hear about us? Just type in Locked On, just like our podcast network. Type it in one word, but preferably Lock Space On, just like our podcast network. When they ask, how did you hear about us? So they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com.
I got an equation for you. How many podcasts and how many minutes does it take to get all the sports news you need? I'll do the math. One podcast, 20 minutes. That's Locked On Today. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on all the latest news in every major sport with help from all of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled. So I know we're going to get into KD's performance, and I think that this game, because it was a blowout and the return of KD, I think a lot of overarching themes are going to be what we end up leaning into. A very quick throwaway I just want to cover here. In a blowout game, DeAndre Jordan didn't sniff the floor. So, take that for whatever it is. This guy is now officially one of the highest paid cheerleaders for the Brooklyn Nets.
Well, can I say something real quick about that? And I think we didn't scoff at this situation, but the second I quote, when LaMarcus Aldridge started that game, that when he first came in, I think our exact quote was, that's the end of DeAndre Jordan. I think we even did a lock it up about the average number of minutes he was going to play, and we took the under on the minutes because I thought that, I was like, if this is, there's just no situation where he's going to be back on the court now. So anyway, we can move on with the KD thing, but I think that's a good it was a nice run with him, but there's, if you're not going to get in the floor in a blowout or in close games, those are the only two games that you can have in basketball, right? Like those, that's
right.
There's
when
no
it's
other,
really
there's
important
no
or when it doesn't matter and you're not useful in either one of those situations, apparently.
That's all three. Those are, there's no third option when it comes to basketball games. So if he's not going to, if you're going to be the only player, by the way, the only Nets player that didn't play, yeah, I think that, I think we may have seen some of his last minutes as a Net, but, would you want to start with the, you want to start with the second half here with Durant, or do you want to see anything you saw from the first half? I was going to say the second half only because that's when he walked out with the starters, but maybe there was something for the first half that kind of caught your eye.
Well, and just quickly on the first half, like I said, the elbow jumper to start, he drove the baseline on a play. So basically you got every, this is like when he came back initially and made his first appearance for the Brooklyn Nets, you got all the sample size of seeing that he's healthy and back in rhythm. I mean, that was the simple part of it. The big carryover, I think, just in general for the game overall, is just that is something that the Pelicans have struggled with all year, defending the three. And by defending, I mean having anyone in the remote area of three-point shooters, which is obviously a disaster against the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, if you're not gonna be around, I won't even get to Joe Harris, but if you're not gonna be around Kyrie Irving, he had, I think, at least three, if not four, wide open, and I talk about wide open shots from beyond the arc there, and all these things carried over into the second half. But no, take it from there and think about, I mean, sorry, talk about what you saw in the second half when then KD does come out with the starting unit.
Yeah, for sure. So one thing that's good about this, about bringing him back for this game, is just to kind of piggyback on your Pelicans point, is that the Pelicans already, in the best of times, are one of the worst defensive teams in basketball. It started off, it's a shame too, because it started off looking okay for them. They were playing at a slower pace and really actually defensive efficiency wise, pretty good. It's been nothing but a downward spiral basically since the first, I don't know, third week, first 3 weeks of the league. Let's do the league. The first 3 weeks of the season for the Pelicans has been just been getting worse and worse and worse defensively, to the point where there's like some chance they catch Sacramento at some point. Not the way you want to catch a team, like you bottom out. You combine that with they're dealing with major injury issues. Ingram is out. They've lost Josh Hart for an extended period of time. Kyra Lewis, who was seeing minutes, NAW, who was seeing minutes, like these guys are all hurt. So this is a team that's been greatly compromised. So if you're looking for a game for Kevin Durant to enter and see almost no defensive resistance at all, this was clearly one of them, right? Yeah. Like, even Zion, for as good as he is, the defense is just, he looks lost sometimes. So if you were looking for a perfect scenario or a perfect like sort of worlds colliding about when you were going to bring Kevin Durant into the fold and maybe not have to tax him too much, there's few other teams in the league that play worse defense than this team. And if you have a great player like Durant who can pick apart defenses because he can get you into – every single other player in the league, except for like four guys, is a mismatch for Kevin Durant. So if that's going to be the case, which they're going to clearly be able to exploit over and over again, New Orleans is just, again, one of the perfect situations. When he enters the game in the second half, which is where he's playing essentially with the group that's, you would think, at least for now, is going to probably be closing for them. Kyrie, Jeff Green, Joe Harris, KD, and then LaMarcus Aldridge. It looked like the easiest basketball of all time. Like, I just thought, you know, it was almost like they were running a practice. And the practice was, can everyone touch the ball to get and find the open shooter by the end of it, right? Like, how many times did we see, even early in the third quarter, where possessions where the entire team touched the ball, sometimes more than once, and then they just found the open shooter, and it didn't need to be Durant. Like, Joe Harris got a shot like this. LaMarcus Aldridge got a dump off on a drive, right? Like, KD got matched up into like sort of a transition cross match where he just buried a three. Kyrie put Steven Adams in a blender. I'm sorry if I'm just summing up the whole game here, but it was an example of, oh, who is stopping this? Even with the worst defense, one of the worst defenses in the league, like, how many teams can ever match up with this? By the way, James Harden wasn't even there. I said this is the team that was going to close, and I totally forgot they have James Harden for a second.
It's so interesting, too, because I want to save kind of, because it's so much the conversation has been, who's the most important player for the Nets, you know, and then Harden goes off on this run, and you see him in the MVP conversation, and you see the way that Kyrie, that the way Harden, that the way KD can impact this team. So I want to save that for the kind of probably the closeout segment. But one of the other pieces of this is not only Kyrie's game, I'll get to that in a minute, but to go backwards a little bit, and this is why Doug and I usually try to have show notes so we don't get too scattered, is back going back to the second quarter when he came in the game, that's when you had the lineup that had him, Jeff Green, and Nicholas Claxton on the floor together, along with Joe Harris as well. And it was interesting to see those three players, because go back a couple of weeks when we had Matt Brooks on the show, as we do every bi-weekly, every other week, as it's known, the best version of this team still looks like, with a couple of players around KD that have been on this roster since the beginning of the year, because of what they offer on both ends of the floor. Now, a guy like Aldridge is certainly benefited. You saw the benefit of him on the floor with KD because of what it forces the defense to have to adjust to. But I just really liked that sample size where essentially, you know, we know that Nicholas Claxton on the defensive end can rotate and pick up guards. Kevin Durant is also capable of being versatile and switching defensively. Jeff Green's athleticism, I keep feeling this guy is drinking from a fountain of youth. So that little three-man front unit for the Nets is a very dangerous combination, I think, that I'll be curious to see how they try to flesh that out over the next handful of games, especially in the absence of James Harden, because you're going to have less attention around the guard positions, like, you know, with Bruce Brown in the game, maybe when Shamet, if he gets back on the court. Obviously, Chioza has been getting runs here, so now all of a sudden, the 3 through 5 positions are going to become critical, and I just got really excited about that sample size, because it shows you the versatility and athleticism, and how, again, Pelicans are a bad defense team, but how hard it is to identify what you want to try to shut down at which point of the game.
Yeah, it's why a guy like Kevin Durant, like we can make the short list of players that can impact an entire team, or excuse me, impact the entire sort of makeup of a team just by stepping on the court. The Nets have two of them. There's maybe like six guys like this in the NBA, right? Like, what's the list? LeBron, KD, Harden. I probably put Steph in there just because he's so good at like one specific thing. Kawhi to some degree, I guess, because he's just so good defensively as well. But like the list of, I'm sure I forgot a couple, by the way. Jokic is probably like this. There's the list of guys that are like this that can completely change the makeup of your team simply by stepping onto the court is so short that you see when a guy like Kevin Durant gets out there, you're like, oh, now I want to see what it looks like with Nick Claxton. Ooh, let's see what it looks like with Jason Hayward and Joe Harris. It's why when you say, oh, who would be the perfect guy to put next to another, like LeBron, you're like, oh, Kevin Durant. You're like, okay, well, we can't just use all the superstars to put next to each other. Like, let's get a little more creative. But it's because these guys have so much gravity to them, right? There's so much gravity around like their ability to do everything on the basketball court and do it well, that the cascading effect of what happens to a guy, so the rest of the team, is that you therefore, like we spend much less time, like think about the difference in how we talk about this game compared to other games, whereas other games were like, we're looking for, okay, you know, like even at the last game, which they won, we're like, oh, we kind of like dug on Aldridge a little bit for being a little slow, right? Like, you know, like two games ago where we're like saying, Griffin had a nice game, but ooh, look at the flaws, right? Or Claxton, like, we're liking what we're seeing the defensive end, but the offensive piece. Notice how we're not saying any of that stuff here, because that stuff matters so much less when you have Kevin Durant on the court. You don't even need to worry about that stuff as much. Everyone else can just go and do the things they do well. And he, and Harden is like this too, and Kyrie is like this sort of on the offensive end, but he's definitely in a step, in a category just one level less than those two other guys. It's, you worry so much less about the flaws of the other players because those matter almost not at all anymore, because Kevin Durant is so good and commands so much gravity around him that you now can only bring out the very best in other players. That makes sense. Like, just think about how we're talking about, they won two games in a row, and think about the difference in how we're talking about this win compared to the last win, even though they're almost the same, right? In terms of like easy win, whatever, except even this just looked differently. Looked different, and it's all because of Kevin Durant.
Nope, 100%. And that's what I want to get into in this closeout segment here, as far as what his impact is, not on, again, Harden and Kyrie included in this, and not only what his impact is in for the role players like LaMarcus Aldridge or like Joe Harris, etc., but then also what I saw from Kyrie Irving in this game that gets me excited about how he shifted his mentality this season relative to the way we've looked at him over really the course of his entire career.
Like I said, we're broadcasting on Locker Room right now. I see all you guys in Locker Room. Much appreciated, everyone being around. Note just came in. Kevin Durant expects to stay on a minutes limit. Bones, Braden, John, Hassan, Lamar, McCunt, Young. See all you guys in there. Going to call people up here after we're done recording. So if you hear this on the podcast, it's just because you got to start jumping in the locker room, folks. This is where we're doing this. We're going to try to do it after as many games as possible because we find this to be one of the best platforms. So make sure you're signing up over on Locker Room. Also, make sure you're signing up on Bet Online. If you're looking to get bets in on the game, and there's just so many games every night in every single sport, you got to get over to betonline.ag. Fastest and easiest way to get in bets on all the sports action. NBA, NHL every night. You know the baseball firing, even during the day, full day of baseball today. Maybe you're into awards or reality TV. Bet Online has you covered there as well. It's a one-stop spot for all your sports action, real-time updated odds and props and anything you can imagine, plus all the news and scores as well. Right now, if you head on over to betonline.ag, you sign up for a free account, no problem, but if you want to make a deposit, which I think you're going to want to, make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. 50% welcome bonus, but you have to use the promo code Locked On. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
And I got your one-stop shop for all the analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA draft with the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and they just concluded that full coverage of upset Baylor over Gonzaga of March Madness 4 days a week. And it all comes to you with from credentialed draft experts. You can follow the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, there's three things that I'd like to touch on here, and I'll clear the first one off pretty quickly. And actually, one other side note, because you mentioned baseball there, I just got to be honest with you. When the YES Network is not broadcasting the Nets games because I got a Yankee game on there, I'm not knocking the sport, although I don't really enjoy it, and I find it like watching paint dry. But the Nets are the bigger thing right now. Stop bumping my Nets for the Yankee games.
Oh, boy.
Okay. I apologize.
Oh, man, I tell you one way to run afoul of a New York sports market. It's like the one cardinal sin is dumping the Yankees. Like,
yeah, well, guess like what? I'm here for the Brooklyn Nets. I'm here for the Brooklyn Nets fan base.
Adam
in this
Armour
room.
Does not speak. The opinions espoused on the podcast are the sole ideas. So, they does not express the interest of the entire podcast. That's one Mr. Adam Armbrecht. No, okay. I'm with you. I can't. I don't know of how many baseball games I'm going to watch this year.
I end up scrambling to find that to do the Nets broadcast. It was on ESPN tonight, but there's been other days when they're like, oh, watch it on YES too. By the way, just cost you more money. Regardless. Anyway, the quick thing that I want to touch on here before I get into Kyrie's game is just that I said it over on Twitter. Joe Harris is underpaid, even on this brand new contract. And again, we've talked about the how superstars elevate the play of the guys around them. But Joe Harris by himself, we all know what he is as a perimeter shooter. We've all talked about the game, his game and how it's evolved this season, right? You've seen him now with that ability to drive the baseline and get at the basket. You've seen him really lean into a facilitator role. And again, there's the benefit of having the superstars to be looking to dish to. But remember early in the season, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, prior to James Harden, when Joe Harris passed on a triple, they got after him right afterwards. We're like, hey, you pull the trigger, buddy. This is what you're here to do. And I just really liked the evolution of his game. And I think that he's a valuable player on any roster. And it's odd to say that on a superstar roster, I think that he's even more important. So the fact that he's been able to continue to develop new facets of his game is going to be to his benefit, because there are going to be times when the perimeter shot isn't there or they're trying to close you down, but the spacing that these superstars provide allow you that easy access to the basket, and we've seen him lean into that. You can touch on it if you want. My other piece is on Kyrie.
The good news around, again, when you play, this is the all superstar podcast, is when you play with superstars and you're elite at a single thing in the game, it allows you to, one, do the thing that you're elite at just even more elitish. That's a new word. you have a more elitish capability of doing that thing. And then also gives you the freedom to explore beyond that, because again, it's going to be easier. So when Joe Harris starts alongside, like plays, you know, with like, this is a bad example, but like if he's playing with Chris Chioza and, you know, TLC, and that's like a lineup that's, you know, those are the two guards in a lineup, and then whoever else is at the four and five, the lane is going to look more clogged. The contests are going to be stronger, right? It's all going to be harder. In this game, when if the three is not wide open, you can take the wide open three because you're going to get them, which they basically, the four that he took were basically of the wide open variety. But even where the one where the contest came a half a second late and he put the ball on the deck and got to the hoop and gave the dish off to Aldridge, like I said before, yep. it's just a thing that can happen because the defense has to be so honed in on the other two superstars that can get a basket at any time they want that you are now be able to expand your game beyond just the elite part. This is why I'm hoping we see more Claxton minutes. Okay, we already know you're elite at defense, basically, right? Like, you can't get switched on to. You're going to be able to close down other guards if, like, they decide to kind of go that way or seek you out. Okay, we know that. Now, what else can you feel comfortable doing? Because you're free to make mistakes, but also the game will just come easier. And that's why I'm hoping we see some of this development. It's why, again, it's like why everyone just looks better. It just goes back to the same theme, right? Like, everyone just looks better when you play with these guys. And the Harris things, and Jeff Green too, that these are just other examples of, okay, your threes will be open. And if not, you want to just take it to the hoop? Because that's like a new thing that you're working on? Great. It's going to be a little easier in this game. Right. It's just going to be a little easier in this game than it's going to be in other games as well.
I do like that. Yeah, no, give it a shot, buddy. Don't worry about it. We got you. The other footnote just quickly on Kyrie, and Doris Burke said it on the broadcast tonight. Doris Burke, we'll say it, friend of the show and my personal NBA knowledge crush because she's phenomenal, she's the coverage that she gives. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. But she threw out the little footnote that Kyrie off the dribble this season is 49%. So, I mean, the guy is absolutely destroying it. But what I like, again, this feeds into the KD point, is that Kyrie didn't – he has shifted that mentality. You mentioned it with Harden, but now he's shifted that mentality around needing to get at the basket or needing to be ball dominant. You know, KD can bring the ball up the floor. He did it in this game tonight. And every time that something shifts within the lineup, so KD goes out or, you know, maybe Harden's going to be out of the lineup, I keep waiting to see, boy, is Kyrie going to lean back into it? Now, we saw put up a 40 spot, right, because nobody else was there for him from the superstar group. But it looks like he is very comfortable. When Harden took over the point guard duties, he liked it. He leaned into it. Now, when KD comes back, it seems like, from a personality standpoint, Kyrie is willing to play that second role to one of these other two guys. And it makes sense, right? We said whatever the hierarchy is, Kyrie is probably third in that lineup. And that's okay, though. The biggest concern was he going to be good with it? And he seems like he couldn't be having any more fun watching other guys have success around him, which is huge as far as the chemistry and the personalities on this team.
It's the most dangerous version of him, right? It's the version of Kyrie where he doesn't feel like he needs to be the hero, where he doesn't feel like the entire team is on his shoulders and he has to be the leader. Like, we saw some of this stuff happen, creep up in Boston, right? With all this stuff sort of out of his system and the recognition or the realization that I think he in his heart knows that he's probably the third best player. I think he probably thinks he's the third best player in basketball and he's the third best player on this team.
Right? The other two best players are on this team. Yep.
Exactly. Like, if he was to give the list, I think if you said, who are the three best players in basketball? He'd probably say Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving. Like, in that order, he'd pass a lie detector test, and that would be it. And all of a sudden, it's the situation where if that's going to be the case, and I'm only saying that because that's how he's playing, right? Like, he's playing as if this, and he's said all these things that would intimate this, like, sort of idea. I'm making it up, but I think you understand the general, like, idea of what I mean, is that this version of him that's playing like he understands that there's some kind of, at least roles, right? He's already said it. He's like, these are the roles on the team. So if he's playing within a role and then saying that this role allows me to do the things that I'm absolutely the best at, which is all that stuff like handles, you can't get me into a switch. If you're going to put a big man on me, I'm going to embarrass him either by going at the rim and somehow getting a shot over a 7-footer or just putting him on skates like somewhere around the perimeter, yep. Right? Like those things kind of all happen for him. And if he's going to do that with so much fluidity on a game-to-game basis and he's not worried about also having to carry the full load, again, good luck. What are you going to do? Like, there's no defense in the world that can then stop this kind of thing. And we even saw it tonight, and it was without James Harden. So I think with Kyrie, it's like, if you're getting this version of him, it is the most dangerous version of Kyrie because he's happy, he understands the role, and he knows that when that's the case, there's really no one in basketball that can stop him from doing the things that he does best. And that was kind of on display tonight, even in a short sample.
Yeah, and I think, again, Big Ben, he is a big beneficiary of Kevin Durant being on the floor, and that was my closeout thought from the sample size of KD tonight. As we say, it makes everybody around him better, but the difference of the impact of a Kevin Durant with his length and his shooting touch from anywhere on the floor, it changes the matchup. So even with a Harden or even with a Kyrie, it's always going to be guards trying to defend against them. So those matchups kind of get locked into place coming into a game. Kevin Durant is going to get you to a place where he can get into switches on both ends of the floor against your guards, and now you're in a world of hurt. And because he has more length specifically for this Nets roster, now with LaMarcus Aldridge and with Nicholas Claxton and even a Jeff Green, guys that have a little bit of size, a little bit of length, are going to benefit even more because they get those secondary matchups that are always going to be more favorable for them. So that's an impact that you don't necessarily get for the other, we'll call them bigs, quote unquote, for the Nets with Harden or with Kyrie. That changes dramatically when you get KD back on the floor, and that's why you saw guys like Blake and like LMA and, you know, Claxton, Jeff Green, all these guys having big games tonight. It's all a direct impact from KD, and that's why he becomes so crucial to this roster, regardless of him being probably, you know, I'll say the best player on this team. It's also the impact that he has for everybody else, specifically to how they've constructed this roster.
All right, we are going to, there's a little, you know, little scheduling thing here where there's a few games where a few days that go by. So the Nets have the next, they have Thursday off, Friday off, and then they come back against LA on Saturday. So it's nice with getting Kevin Durant back. You actually get the two-day buffer, which actually doesn't happen a ton in basketball now. You get a two-day buffer. He'll still be on a minutes limit, like they said, but we're going to get another matchup here against a pretty compromised LA team. So we'll be back again. We'll preview that on for Friday's show for sure. We'll get a little bit more into some of these rotations here, what to expect out of Kevin Durant going forward, and, you know, what can we expect out of some of these other players as well. Lock It Up also coming on Friday. Going to jump in here to Locker Room in a second, bring some folks up. Had a bunch of people in Locker Room tonight, so that's pretty awesome. Make sure you're over on the Locker Room app for when we're broadcasting after games. In the meantime, ways to help the show, you know what to do. Rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. 5 stars or bust. Numbers have been really awesome over the last 2 weeks, so much appreciative to everyone that's jumped in and started listening along the way, because the numbers would say that we have a bunch of new listeners coming on board. So that is always a great way to put some wind in our proverbial sails. Rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. Notice I didn't say follow us on Twitter, because we got over 1,000 Twitter followers, so my job is done there. Don't even need another follower. Don't care. We're just over 1,000, so I don't care. If we never got another Twitter follower, I would never care. 1,000, and unless we lose two and go back to 999, then I'll go put the bat signal out for that again. Don't worry about that. So all you need to do now is rate and review the podcast wherever you listen.
I only got one rule only. You're gonna do something, you do it right. You don't know how to do it, you ask me. All right, that's Frank, aka Denzel.
Oh, one of the all-time great poets. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.